So how many of you guys have seen the seaweed? I looked it up online. It's called sargassum. I learned a lot about seaweed this week. Evidently, there's a sargassum sea with a big, huge pile of it, and parts of it break off, and then they come here, and we have to figure out what to do with it, right? Because it doesn't smell very good when it dries out on the beach. And I tried to snorkel with a lot of the sargassum seaweed around, and it was tough. The fish love it, you can tell, but it's hard to see. And then when it touches you, it's, you know, it doesn't feel very good. I think the jellyfish like to hang out in it too. We have had to contend with seaweed this week and the past few weeks. And I think that God is trying to teach us a lesson, as God often does. Because in our gospel today, we have a story, another parable, another very deep parable full of rich layers of meaning that Jesus tells us, and it's about weeds. In this parable, there is a man who plants good seed in a field. But then while his servants and he are sleeping, an enemy comes and spreads weeds into all the wheat. So that when the weeds grow up, the wheat is growing up with them. And when the servants ask the master, they say, "Can we just pull up those weeds?" And interestingly, the owner of the field says, "No, you can't pull up the weeds. You have to wait. Let everything grow. And then when it is ready, at the end of days, I will do it myself. I will send my angels and I will pull up the weeds and separate the weeds from the wheat. The weeds will be burned. The wheat will enter into my barn, enter into my home." So as in so many of Jesus' parables, he tells us so much about the world in which we live and how we are to understand it. You see, just like the ocean, which sometimes has lots of seaweed in it, our lives are not perfect. They have weeds in them, don't they? And weeds can take many forms, from people that are just awful to us, to situations that are just damaging or destructive, to our own minds. We even have weeds inside our own minds. Jesus was talking about weeds on many levels, as he often does in his parables. And the first thing that I think Jesus wants you to know is often when something difficult happens in our lives, often when something unjust or wrong happens and we're hurt, we will say, "Why does this happen, God? Why are you doing this to me?" We will say that to God. Why? Why are you letting me suffer like this? Well, in the parable, it's very clear that it was not God that planted the weeds. There is no avoiding the fact in Scripture that there is, in fact, an evil one, a darkness, the devil. And I know many of us don't like talking about that or thinking about it. It sounds very medieval and very scary and weird. But the truth is that God created you to experience ultimate joy and love. That was God's will for you and continues to be God's will for you. But in this world, there are also other forces at work, forces of darkness that are undeniable, that can tear us apart, and they are not of God. So, A, it is not your fault when things don't go well in your life. You didn't do something to deserve the weeds. And B, God made you as good to enjoy life. But the trick is that in order for us to develop in this life, God can't just come down and pull out all the bad stuff. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great if God could come down and fix this world, take out all the violence, all the negativity, all the bad stuff, and just have it be perfect? Wouldn't that be wonderful? But the parable tells us that it's not that God isn't willing to do that, it's that God cannot do that. Because we are in the process of developing and growing And God has to let it all grow together for a while. The good and the bad. All of it grows together right now. There is a wonderful example of a man who understood about the weeds of the world and of his own mind. He was a mathematician by the name of John Nash, Professor Nash. And this man grew up and was a brilliant mathematician, but he also saw things that weren't there. He suffered from schizophrenia. There's a wonderful movie made about him called A Beautiful Mind. John Nash realized that he saw things that weren't there. He had parts of his mind that really were destructive to him, that didn't work right, that made him feel scared all the time. But he also realized that if he was going to try to get rid of all that unhealthy stuff in his mind, he was also going to hurt his brilliance and his creativity. If he took a lot of electroshock therapy or injections of insulin or medication, it would dull his mind and he couldn't do his math. He realized that he couldn't pull the weeds out of his mind without also hurting the wheat. Now, I want to suggest to you that every one of us has destructive thoughts in our minds. We do. We have worries, we have anxiety, we have sadnesses, we have negative thoughts. And all of us are going to have to learn to separate out those things that are negative and destructive from the things that are good. And to understand that we cannot fix either our minds or what happens out in the world. We're going to have to learn to swim in the seaweed. So Professor Nash learned to live with the things that he saw that weren't good or right, but not to pay them any attention. He called it a diet of the mind. He could still see these funny things, but he didn't pay them attention. He found out what his mind did well, and he focused on that. You know, all of us, we have good parts of ourselves, and we have bad parts of ourselves. We have things that we can do really well, and that we're really good at, and ways that we're generous and loving and kind, and then every single one of us has terrible faults, and silly things we do wrong, and selfishness. If you think someone's perfect, just go on a vacation with them for 2 weeks straight, right? You'll figure out that there's something going on there. What I'm saying to you is that even in your own self, you have got to learn to live with your weeds and to understand that you cannot fix yourself. We can't do that. We can't fix the world and we can't fix ourselves. What we can do, though, is we can pay attention to the wheat and cultivate the wheat, and we can just make our way around the weeds. And sometimes you've got to get to know those weeds, right? Like I had to study sargassum because it grossed me out. But if I learned about it, I realized it wasn't harmful, it wasn't bad, it just felt weird when it touched my skin. So learn about your weeds, figure out where they are, figure out what your faults are, what your destructive thoughts are, get to know them, and then move around them. Learn to live with them, because you're never going to make yourself perfect. Only God can do that. But what you can do is you can focus on the good things in life. You can focus on the things that are beautiful and kind and true. And you can remember what St. Paul tells us, which is that we cannot even begin to be prepared for the glory which is to come. You were designed for a world that had no weeds in it. And you will get there. You will get there. But in the meantime, you cannot pull up the weeds by yourself. You cannot fix yourself. You can only learn to love yourself. And ironically, in loving yourself, some of those weeds kind of get to be a little less distracting. So as you go out there and swim in the waters, I encourage you to dive in, even if the seaweed's terrible. Get in there. Enjoy the water. Make the best of it. Because I think that this world has much more beauty than it does destruction. It has much more joy than it does sorrow. We only need to realize that we can make it through the weeds. God has given us that capacity, and one day we will get to a shore when there is nothing but beauty and joy, that place for which we are destined to be. You are children of God, and together we will see a land that is all good. Amen.